check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the USDGC edition of Debate Night. Super excited to be down here. You know, normally we're live, not going live tonight. We're on the road, so, you know, there's a lot of stressful events happening to get us to even to this point, but we are welcoming on Trevor. He's going to be joining in the debate. He likes to always stir the pot, so I think that this will make things go better.
I'm feeling very hostile tonight.
Yeah, so I think that I know some of you are watching and being like, this is just going to be grip locked. We have our all of our topics planned out. Don't worry. We're debating tonight. We're going to give you a little bit of information to surround the debate, but this is not going to be grip locked. You will have to tune into grip locked, though, if you want to get the full breakdown details of USDGC. But yeah, before we start into the show,
pick a few things to chat about
tonight. Yeah. Well, before we start into the show, I do want to non-debate topic, just ask you, Brody, you've been down here, you've seen the course, you've played the course. What are your thoughts and feelings going into USDGC starting tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. It's a little bit different probably for me than maybe some of the other guys that are playing it for the first time, because it's also my first big tournament since D-Glo, which I think was in July.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so it's been a while. The Battle for Bedford was nice to get kind of just my feet wet a little bit again and get back into the competition. But being back out here, it's a completely different environment when you have like the full field, you know. And I got some practice rounds in with Yuli, Paul, and Drew. And yeah, it was good. It was fun. I think this course definitely suits my game well. I feel like less and less tournaments I go to, they're less and less holes, rather, at tournaments I feel like I can't attack.
Yeah.
So this course, I don't think there's a hole out there that I can't birdie, I can't attack. But it's going to be all about executing my shots, and then when I do have a mishap or a misthrow, being smart and trying not to take the big number, because you guys played the round. It's one mistake away from taking a big number, and that can be an absolute round killer. So yeah. It's more just, you know, if I have to take a bogey because of something, that's okay. But it's like, don't try to be a hero and take some big shots to try to get a par and then put like a 7 or an 8 into play. But it, you know, as far as the course, it's a lot of fun. I definitely would say that I would recommend it. If I wonder if I can I get like a book? Maybe we can get, for those that are listening, I'm in a weird like corner spot in this little thing, and I'm wondering, now that I think about it, like my back is going to be at, oh, here we go. These are the light frisbees. How are we doing there? Yeah, that's not bad. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay. I think this should work. Hold with me for a second. That should be good. Yeah.
That's
money. What? What's wrong with that?
One bump away
from okay.
That's oh, fine no, right no, there.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good. Right. I just felt like I was having to like lean. I'm already having to lean forward, and I just felt like I was having to lean. Oh, there. Oh my gosh. Now I can just like relax and you can really get some good intel. Where was I even at?
You were just talking about the course and how quickly you can go bad. Yeah. But yeah.
The course, it's a fun course. If you're in the area, I definitely would say like come out and play it if you can. And especially if you're listening or watching this and you're near Rock Hill, South Carolina, I believe they still have passes available. So if you want to come out and watch the action, it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
the weather might be trash though.
The weather is definitely going to be a factor. We'll talk about that some on Grip Locked. Not really a debate topic. Debate whether or not the weather.
Oh, I will debate the weather. I want
to
debate.
You need to debate the weather out of here. Is what you need to do. But no, we'll talk about what.
I need
that's
to debate what the heck
here.
Is a Doppler. That's what I need to debate. Does anyone know? Do we ever figure that out? Doppler radar. What is that?
Yeah, it's radar that. It's like radar that senses something that's going to move.
Sonar.
That sounds great.
Is that sonar in the air?
I believe that was the statement that was fed to me. And so don't call me crazy, because I'm just
Trevor
repeating
is
what
so
was
crazy.
Said. Anyways,
I mean that works for me. I believe it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's much more that we really want to get into for USDGC specifically.
We'll be doing a full breakdown on USDGC on Grip Locked. So.
Yeah.
The one debate I wanted to bring up that might not even be a debate, but I want to hear your thoughts as a competitor on the Big Maz hole nine.
The Big Maz.
Now that you've gotten down here, you've played it. We did prove that your wingspan can touch two of them. I was wrong. I think I owe you a lunch of sheets. That was on the line?
That's fine.
I'm going to put a lot of lunch of the sheets on the line.
I'll take that.
I also forgot to shave your face before this, so that sucks. But
oh, yeah.
You can touch both. So now that you've seen them, though, what are they really doing much for you? Are they get in your head at all when you're on the tee?
So the only thing I would say with that for me is I have to kind of throw from the back of the tee pad. So my run-up's a little awkward, kind of going from like the grass to the tee pad. And it allows, I think it's like only 380 or 385. So I can just kind of throw a spike hyzer at it. And so I'm trying to go over the top, or at least like at the very, very top of the right section. I have seen a lot of people that, you know, were practicing before me or behind me, going with like forehands through, going with backhands through as well. I tried the backhand like through it and I went OB long. So, I mean, I feel like the OB on that hole around the green is so small, short, you know, from, what's the word? Verticality? No.
Diameter? Like from the front to the back?
To the front to the back, yeah. It can't be more than like 60 feet.
Depth.
It might be less than 60 feet because I don't even think it's a full circle in the back. Yeah, the depth of the OB is very, very small. So to me, like even if there weren't mozzarella sticks there, I'm probably still throwing a spike hyzer just because I feel like I can control the landing spot on it. But it's weird. I feel like, and we were kind of talking about this a little bit, where it's okay to have the same layout or the same course year after year. I feel like you don't have to, if you have something going for you, you don't have to try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And from watching coverage, I felt like I've never played it, but I felt like the par four was actually a little bit more exciting, a little more difficult, and a better hole.
I'll definitely agree. I think the old hole nine was better, but I will say now that I've gotten down here and played it, I don't like the look of the mozzarella sticks, but I don't mind the idea behind it.
I saw a tweet from Zach Melton that perfectly explained what I was thinking, which is the way the hole plays now, the way it's just set up, forget the aesthetics, it's the way the hole actually plays is pretty good because it's tricky. It forces you to make a choice.
I don't think it does much because of the drop zone.
Okay, well, forgetting the drop zone.
We're talking about the actual
mozzarella
sticks. Yeah, I'm saying the hole is a hole. There's not really a decision to be made because why are you ever thinking about laying up?
No, decision to be made about which gap to throw.
Yes.
Through. That's right. Which shot. So I think the hole itself actually plays pretty well. It's just the way they've accomplished that looks really bad aesthetically.
Yes.
So that's why it's like a very difficult of like, but how do you accomplish that? Like that same stuff. Because I actually really like what it's done for that tee shot. Like it makes you think. It's kind of an interesting shot shape. No matter how you throw it,
it makes you a little more uncomfortable on the tee.
Yeah, but I just don't like the way it looks.
Here's an interesting question. So because the way disc golf is filmed, right, where it's so this person, this person, this person, this person, they don't really bounce around, right? You're seeing the same exact shot. Like you're seeing four shots off the tee pad back to back to back to back.
Right.
Does it get a little bit more interesting if you do something like the mozzarella sticks where one guy throws a forehand out the gap, one guy throws low through the gap backhand, and then one guy throws like a spike hyzer, where if those mozzarella sticks are gone, everyone's probably throwing a backhand spike hyzer.
Yeah. No, that's,
so that that's what I'm saying is you, what it does is a hole I like. Yeah. I just don't like the look.
Yeah.
I also don't like that. Like, they're mobile almost.
Yeah.
You can move.
Like, if
them.
You hit them, they just shake.
Yeah, they can move.
It is interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize they were like sleeved into the
ground. I thought they were originally mozzarella sticks were wooden poles.
They're like telephone poles.
That's why they were called mozzarella sticks because they had like one thing of ivy and looked like garlic sprinkled on it.
Yeah, it's an interesting effect. Then like, it's tough because disc golf, like, I will say, you know, I can't discredit the course designers for initially trying it out because there's so much talk about how to make disc golf courses more difficult, how to defend a course without, you know, especially in open environments with like, cause you can't just grow a tree out of the ground. So there's a lot of, like, I don't, you know, props to them for trying this out, but I do think it's interesting. It's definitely a bold play to make it a, like a very big feature of a hole when they've been scrutinized in the past.
Yeah.
But like I said, I like here's the result question. Of what it does.
Here's a question that maybe you'll think is think about the future, right? Because there's going to be USDGC typically the decisions made there a lot of times trickle into how other events are ran, how other things are.
I don't want to see them on other courses.
Okay, but do you think that there was a similar reaction with the first time like a golf bunker was put in?
Let me go back to
the 1800s.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Think about like you look and it's always a grassy field that you're playing in maybe, and then eventually they like dig this deep hole and fill it with sand.
No, I agree. There
like, would that have been like, oh my gosh, what the heck are they doing? They're making our sport a joke.
No, I think, you're definitely right. There's definitely, when changes happen in golf, it's in every sport. Whenever there's a change, there's an initial like, I mean, I remember when the kickoff rule changed, right? Where they moved the kickoffs.
Yeah, like 20 yards forward or something.
Forward so that there would be way less returns because kickoff's like one of the scariest or one of the easiest ways of getting injuries. I know people hated that initially. Now no one really talks about it. Same thing with like the field goal. You know, when they move the field, the extra point back, they're always, no matter whether it's end up being a net positive or net negative, there's always going to be some people on the other side that are going to be the loudest that disagree with it.
This is an aesthetic thing, though. I think the bunker is the best example because, like, a rule.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is the bunker.
Yeah, well,
if they just threw it, that might look.
Well, I'm
like
saying
they can.
I think they can do the same thing by planting trees, right?
Well, I think the biggest
problem.
Why not?
How are you going to plant a tree big enough to affect your drive?
Yeah,
the initial tree that's planted is going to have limbs all in your way.
I will debate that. There, you can.
You're going to go get a sequoia and like drive it in.
No, I'm just saying there's definitely trees that are already mature that you can literally uproot and plant. I'm almost positive, right? Like
how tall? Not tall enough for disc golf.
No, but the mozzarella sticks aren't that tall.
No, but a tree gets
like,
wider towards the top.
I'm pretty
sure. So if it was a 10-foot tall tree, you don't have a 10-foot tall straight pole.
I do think
an 80-foot tall tree.
My biggest problem.
You're not moving an 80-foot tall tree.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, I'm trying to solve the problem of like,
because it looks
unnatural. People talk about the unnaturalness of certain things.
I would hate it if those were trees.
Why?
Because like I would feel, for some reason, if that was on a wooded course,
I would hate
it more than the mozzarella sticks right now. Because I'd be like, why the heck didn't you cut some of these trees down?
If the gaps were that wide, though?
They're not that wide. Brody can touch them. We just played Angry Beaver, and we were saying the same thing about some of the gaps.
I don't know if I...
You're having to throw a 380-foot shot through a 6-foot-wide gap if it's a tree.
But
in this case, you can go up and over it because it's not a tree.
It is definitely weird that it... But it is close.
It makes it feel like a bigger gap. If those were trees, it would feel like there's no gap there.
I agree with that. If they were like 60 feet up in the air, it would feel like the tightest gap ever. Because you feel like it's just enclosed.
Maybe it just comes down to, because like even like hole 7, obviously it's a giant bamboo wall, but it looks a little more aesthetically pleasing. So maybe it's...
Well, look at hole 7 versus the Triple Mando at Worlds. That's a perfect example of two things that are trying to accomplish the same thing. One looks way better than the other.
Even the Triple Mando on hole 15 at USDGC. Another thing that was built and looks... So maybe it's just a matter of maybe the poles like aren't an awful idea. Maybe. They just need to look better.
Clown's
teeth. What if it goes the opposite way?
Clown's teeth.
What goes the
opposite? Right now they're trying to make it look like it belongs.
Oh, no.
What if we just branded them?
No.
Like paintball style.
No.
Hey, I'm throwing out ideas.
You want the golf course to look pretty.
But does that look pretty right now?
No. So I'm saying make it look more natural.
What if you did?
But
like,
how do you make it look more natural?
Honestly, I gotta be honest.
What if you do like a miniature golf situation and just have like a 50-foot like T-Rex in there and you gotta throw it through their legs?
I gotta be honest. The straight up wooden telephone pole. If you had a really nice wooden pole, it was just wood,
like cedar.
Yeah,
stained.
Yes. Like I'm not even kidding. Wow. Like I think that would look better.
A nice mahogany stain on it.
Sure. But I think that would look better than trying to do the ivy when there's like no ivy near
it. I do agree.
It.
I think that's what's throwing me off the most is
that
like
trying.
You're trying to make it look like it belongs.
Right.
When
but
it
it's like you walk up and it's
belong.
Like plastic ivy. Yeah. It's not even real.
Yeah. Because maybe it's like too much effort trying to make it look like it belongs. Yeah. So we need to accept that it doesn't belong.
Yeah. I also think it's hurt a little bit more on hole 9, for example, because it's just like a wide open field. You're not even like near any trees to like...
Yeah, you can't mask it. Like if they maybe planted some bushes
even like
and some
on,
stuff around it, then it maybe...
Even like on 2 and 8, when the poles are kind of like at least close to like the basket or trees or growth
eight,
or whatever.
8 doesn't feel that bad.
It just looks a little bit more natural.
Yeah, 8 like doesn't feel that bad.
Yeah, it
that
just looks
true.
It looks a little bit odd when it's just like the wide open field and then there they are.
Yeah.
If there were trees on
what
the
if
edge,
you just painted them white? Like put a like picket fence around the tee up to it.
Picket fence is kind of weird, but
I don't know.
I think one. I think one thing we can all agree on is they need to chop down that tree on 18 immediately because it smells bad. Did you guys not smell it when you walked by it?
Oh, is that the date tree? Or what did we decide?
It's the big tree on the right side of the fairway.
I smelled that the first day.
Yes, it's that tree. It smells like sewer.
Yeah, I haven't smelled it. To be fair, I still haven't got my full smell back since March.
Is gone?
What is that?
Okay, let's clear it up. I lost my scent in March from COVID. I still haven't got it back. I didn't recently lose my scent. I don't want people to think.
It's also weird that you're saying scent.
Scent.
I think you say your sense of smell.
My sense of smell.
Yeah.
Your scent means like how you smell.
I've lost my smell. I've lost my sense of smell.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, but I can smell some things.
I did notice it's that here tree was kind of rancid.
I was literally leaning against it. Really so bad. I probably smelled awful when I got back. And I had no idea.
You know the tree I'm talking about, though.
I know it's the only one with the bamboo sticking out.
What? It's got the one on the right that has the weird fruit.
Oh,
things.
Even farther
it's
up.
It's like 450 feet off the tee.
It's got weird fruit. No, I didn't even go near that tree.
That tree smells so bad.
I walked
right
underneath it. Yeah, I don't know what it is. What is going on there?
It must be that fruit.
I'm trying to think why does a tree need to smell bad? Like,
it's probably naturally like defending bugs off of it.
Because it smells so bad?
Yeah.
The bugs won't go near it.
Because, you know, flies like eat puke, natural defense.
Yeah, wait, I was
going to
say flies love.
No, it's probably like it's developed whatever bug likes it, doesn't like that smell.
We're talking a lot about botany.
All right.
Well, like you can do that with like corn and stuff.
No, I don't hate that theory.
Let's talk about step putts for a little bit. Just real quick.
Okay.
I just kind of want to hear I'll hear both of your guys' what you think step putts should happen, and then I'll give my take on step putts.
Yes.
So here's my thing. I think my take isn't on step putts because step putts and jump putts are the same thing to me.
No.
That's my take.
Okay.
I think that both shouldn't be allowed within 60 to 70 feet of the basket.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So my whole thing is, and Hunter, this is what Hunter's kind of saying, is we think putting just needs to be harder in general. Right? I think it's realistic that these guys have gotten so good at putting from those distances that let's hurt them a little bit and make them have to putt.
You can't cross your lie. You have to display balance after releasing it behind your lie.
Obviously, the difference between
feet.
A step putt and jump putt is a step putt is you're ahead of your lie before the disc comes out of your hand.
So how do you eliminate it?
You make sure that you can't have your foot can't go in front of your
it's
lie
like,
for
it's
it.
Like
it's a foot.
It's like
I think you use your foot.
Elbow. I was gonna say because you cross the lie with a step putt,
right?
Yeah, with a jump putt, you cross your lie
both
before.
Both feet have to be behind.
I think it's your feet before the disc. The disc has to be out of your hand before your back foot or front
foot. It's like darts. It's like darts. Same thing. You can lean as much as you want.
That would eliminate the big step putt. I don't personally, because my thing is. I think jump putting from 35 feet is basically just as easy as step putting from 35 feet.
It's still pretty easy. I think the guys that have good step putts, like James Conrad, that step putt is getting him so close to the basket before the disc is out of his hand. Whereas the jump putt, you get the added power, which can help you with your accuracy.
The biggest thing that helps with accuracy, realistically.
Right, but they are a lot closer to the basket when they're step putting.
Like, I like my chances, if I'm at 35 feet, I like my chances at putting from 31 feet versus 35.
It's a huge difference maker between missing a putt.
I'm just saying, but my argument is I don't care because I don't think either should be allowed to happen that close
inside
to the basket.
Your range is 60?
I think 60 to 70 feet. We're basically where circle two is.
66 is
circle two. So 66 feet, I think that should be the circle one.
I
go to a 66 footer. I think we can get to the basket straddling or whatever without displaying balance.
Definitely.
That means that it can get repeatable.
I think the other thing I was going to say too is with me establishing a step putt now, I've noticed that my misses are way smaller. So I'm still hitting something.
It's less arm. So that's why your misses are smaller. You're getting so close to the basket.
Yeah, I'm still hitting something. Where if I'm trying to putt from like 40 feet and I'm not stepping and generating that power going forward, I'm having to throw it more up in the air.
Yeah.
And
that's what I want.
I'm agreeing with you. Saying you're going to get bigger misses from that and have potential three putt situations.
Yeah.
Where the step putt's like.
That's why I think our greens and disc golf are just too small. I think that's a big thing.
I can agree with that.
I like the idea of not even having a specified green.
You have to. There has to be some spot where
because
you can't
like if you're in the middle of the woods, you can't have like a defined grass is shorter here.
No. I'm saying like
You're saying because like you want to be able to have like a different shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Greens,
I feel like we've
like
talked
that.
About this before about just in general of. And I think this would help for stats also mainly, and stats are extremely extremely important, very important. And I think, you know, someone throwing a disc 30 feet from a basket in the middle of the woods is not hitting the green. You should not get like to me like getting a circle one. Like a check mark off of like hitting circle in that situation, I think it is not really helping us see the picture because someone throwing it the same distance away, 30 feet, but like in the open where they actually have a putt, I think that is hitting the green, not the guy that shanked it over into the woods.
Well, the argument there is there shouldn't, should there really be trees within the circle?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Well, in the wooded golf, it's almost impossible not to. Like you got
well, not like a tree where you have to straddle around it. Sure, I don't think there should be jail where you can't make a putt if you're within right. 20 feet of the basket.
Yeah, there's situations.
There's lots of courses like that.
I know. Oh, yeah. I don't like yeah. that.
I mean,
like
hole 15 at USDGC is like that. Mm-hmm. You can get you can get within 20 feet and not have.
I think
a putt.
That's gimmicky because if you could throw a great shot and then based on the luck of basically where it,
but a great shot on hole 15 is left. See, I think that's the tricky thing is right now, I think
you can make better shots, but I think if you throw right now...
But if you... Just hear me out. Hear me out. If you know the left side of hole 15 is open, which it is, if you land anywhere on the hole left side...
You can't expect a good result if you go right, you're saying.
Yeah. And yeah. That, to me, that's where
it's
like...
But what's fluky is you can go right and still get a good result.
I agree.
That's what I don't like.
Yeah. You add the flukiness of that.
It's like you could both go to the right side and I could have a wide open putt and you could have nothing.
I agree. I don't like that. I don't like that. But what I was just trying to say is like you can't... That's not a good shot. Like, because you should be trying to throw it to the left side.
I'm just finding a good shot is like inside the circle. Mm-hmm. The whole part I don't like is just that when there is that many trees, a disc is small enough that there is going to be times where we're both basically in the exact same spot.
One has a putt,
one has a putt, and one doesn't, and we threw the same shot. That's why I don't like, and why I think that it should be open enough that like you might have more challenge on the right side of the green.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have a putt, whereas the left side of the green it's wide open. Sure, the right side of the green it's just like. Now you have to straddle or put some ante on it or at least think about your putt, but you still have a putt to think about.
No,
versus well, now I'm 20 feet, I got to lay up. Because who wants to watch that?
I don't like, I never like seeing a putter inside of 30 feet where there's just nothing.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's like literally nothing. And it does happen sometimes.
I think, I agree with you. The layup is tough. It's tough to watch.
Yeah.
When people just like walk up and they just chuck it underneath the basket,
I don't mind it when it's like a severe downhill and a player is making a strategic play. I don't like when it's like, I don't have an option. I have to lay up. This sucks. I think that's bad course design personally.
Yeah. No, it's tough when they're like super, super close and they're like, I have nothing.
Yeah. Or they're like, I have a 10 footer and they try throwing it in and it just like hits the tree in front of them because like,
I don't mind that.
No, not they had a putt. It's like, A disc can't fit through here, and so I'm gonna hit a tree. I just hope it goes in after.
That's what you gotta have that disc that you can ball up into a ball and then chuck
that's
it through.
That's true.
All right, I think we got one more, and then we're gonna jump into.
So step putting from 60 feet or like jump putting.
Yeah,
do you have a range?
I don't think step putting from 60 feet is really actually that much.
No, sorry. Jump putting at all within 60 feet. Like cross, being able to cross your lot.
I don't know if I can like tell you exactly what the distance should be, but I know it should be further. Like just if we're trying to make putting harder, I literally just changed the way I putt, and I feel like I have a way better chance of making putts inside of 45 feet now than I did.
That would definitely be an easier way for them to change the difficulty of putting before having to make baskets smaller.
Yeah.
Be a less extreme 100%. Way to do that.
If you're within 30 feet, it's the same.
Yeah.
But...
It's gonna subtract a few strokes.
It's gonna take
from just
a few strokes off
round.
Everyone's round. Yeah.
And I think it would also benefit players that you know like someone like Eagle or Paul that don't step putt or jump putt inside of 60 feet. It'll benefit those kind of guys. Even Ricky. Ricky doesn't either. Calvin doesn't. A lot of the top players.
Well, that's
don't.
A lot of the top putters in the world.
No, I know, but I'm saying it
rewards them for being such a good putter.
It gives them a little bit more reward right now because they have that ability of being able to generate and be accurate from that distance, which I think I'm fine
with. It's just something other players will have to develop. It's not like players are lacking the skill to be able to putt from 60 feet without jumping. Secondary question is, it's a similar argument to people that I've heard make where run-ups should only be allowed on the tee. Now that's an interesting one.
Someone did call in about that. I think they were saying that
there should be hazard areas.
Yeah, if you throw in a hazard.
I've heard basically a run up is like our drive, so you can only run up on the tee.
I don't
Or no, sorry, run up's like our teeing up.
Yeah.
So you can only use it on the tee.
I don't like that one just because I mean, think
you'd have to change a lot. You'd have to courses, change every
so
course.
Many courses would have to go in reverse because you'd have to there's so many courses where guys would
No, you would.
Players can throw a long freaking ways without a run up. I would bet Paul could hit 450 plus without a run up.
I bet
Drew could still go 500.
I think
we saw Drew go Spikeheiser on 14 after doing like a little weird jump.
Still momentum though. Run ups
a little bit of momentum. Sure.
My thing is there's a balance in the game between making things more difficult but also keeping the excitement of the game. And like when I want to see a guy running up to a shot to attack it, I think it just looks better. I think it's just better for the look of the game even.
I just think it's an interesting idea. I wouldn't mind seeing it in the experimental tournament.
I wouldn't go as far as...
The hazard thing I don't mind.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like if you're going to do an experiment tournament and try stuff out, I wouldn't go for the after the tee shot. But I wouldn't mind like, hey, let's see if we can punish people instead of hey, you're in a hazard, you automatically get a stroke, right? Let's go, hey, you're in a hazard, you can't run up.
Yeah, make it. It's like just like a fairway bunker.
So where you can have Drew try to rip something standstill for 500. My guess is he's going to be way less accurate
than running up.
And so that's where I think I would like to, because right now that's where we're kind of missing. It's weird. We're trying to make certain things harder, but at the same time, we're also making it to where like there's no real way of like being like making a heroic throw. So it would be cool to see someone chuck it into like a hazard, stand still, and they're still able to get up and down for a birdie.
Because
there's no
par four. That used to be like the Tiger Woods thing. He'd hit into a bunker and they'd be talking about how most players would be just hitting their layup out of the bunker and then he would just take some ridiculous.
He'd like hit a 9-iron 180 yards out of a bunker. Yeah, and everyone's just like, what the heck?
I like that. I would like to see them play a golf course, use fairway bunkers. I don't want to, obviously, it doesn't matter for like bunkers around the green, but like use fairway bunkers and then make them throw standstill.
Well, like you can look at USDGC, like hole 12, you could have that rule out here. Like the ones where the hazard area comes into the fairway. Yeah. If you're in that hazard area, you can't run up. So you might be 400 feet away from the basket.
I don't know where hole 12 is.
It's one of the
hole 11 holes. And 12, both of them actually. Bushes holes.
I think on those holes, though,
I know the hedges on the right.
So that's 11.
The problem
that hole would work too.
The problem with those holes though is, or at least for 11, for example, is if you're not assessing them a stroke penalty,
it's not long enough.
Not long enough.
No,
Drew can go huge off the tee, stand still, putter, and he's there.
Yeah.
So that's I get what you're saying.
Basically, I'm saying like that roped off area that comes into the fairway. So you can apply it to any course. The Pro Tour could roll in. Sand bunkers you can only do certain places.
You can even just do it as
roped off area. You can set that up.
You could just tighten the
fairways 2 days before.
Yeah, you could tighten the fairways, make them super super narrow, and then the only way you get to have a run up is if you throw in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, and it's not, you're not penalized.
Right,
you just don't have a run up.
That would be interesting.
No. I would like to see it'd be cool to have like a yearly experimental event. Where we just like let's just see what happens if we make the basket smaller.
I'd be terrified of some of the rules that would get thrown into those. Just being around disc golf.
It wouldn't have to be like heavily covered or anything.
No.
Just like something to see. Let's test taking away circle one.
Is the handicap going to be similar to the average score? Mm. Like we're just let's just test it out.
Test it out.
I like it.
16-2.
I mean,
all right.
I'd like to see a record of 16-2 and someone say that they had a bad season.
Let's see. Well, I mean, if you're a brain surgeon,
I think the Patriots went 15-1.
If you're
and lost the Super Bowl,
if you're a brain surgeon and you're 16-2, that's
but
not,
did they
that's
have a
great?
Did they
that's
have, okay?
Not great. Tell
Warriors,
that to the two
Warriors
families
73
that
and that's they lost ridiculous.
How's that ridiculous?
Because you're killing someone in that case.
If you're a pilot and you're 16-2 on landing, that's not good.
You killed our spirits.
That's not good.
Nobody even knows what we're talking about, so you're gonna move on.
Do they not know what I'm talking about?
73-9.
I'm just saying if you're 16-2, that doesn't mean you're good.
73-9, but they lost the finals. They have a bad season.
Yeah.
No, they had the greatest season of all time.
Who?
The Warriors. 73-9.
They had the greatest season
of all time.
Regular season,
but that's not what matters. Do you know, there's a good quote from Billy Beane, the GM for the Athletics. He says, nothing matters unless you win the last game of the season.
Great movie, Moneyball.
You got to win the last game of the season. And you didn't win.
Technically.
You lost.
Realistically, though, Brody lost one of them, too. So we're talking 16-2.
Both of you lost, then. You guys are both losers.
Or Brody's.
How did I lose?
Really, you're 2-16. Or you're 1-17.
To everyone listening right now, these are just numbers being thrown.
I think they understood the brain surgery thing of like where you're.
No, because that's a whole different stakes. You can't.
No, but I'm saying.
This is what you always do, though. We get into like an argument that like you could use a normal thing and I would agree with you. And then you like pull from way outside of any spectrum.
You're literally saying 16-2, no matter what, is a good record.
You did say any. So you did.
You said is a good record.
Sports.
Right.
Brain surgery is not a sport.
Well, you should have said sports.
Well, a brain surgeon doesn't have a record. A brain surgeon's not sitting there and be like, woo-wee, another win today.
I think they actually do.
I think they don't
have like a post-surgery press conference. You know, it's a tough one out there.
No, but I think they actually know how many people they've killed.
I'm sure they know how many people they've killed. I guarantee you, good brain surgeons, they do not know. I've completed 10,000 surgeries.
No, I think they do.
I guarantee you they know.
Didn't we just talk about how like brain surgery, like these we were just talking about this, how doctors have like crazy like mental capacity just to remember everything. Was that Connor that was mentioning that?
Wasn't me.
Where was I? I was somewhere.
If I asked my sister, she's a doctor right now, how many people have died while she's been like treating them at the hospital, she would 100% tell me.
What does she do?
Well, she's done multiple different things. Right now, she's a hospitalist.
What does she do, though?
Right now, she's a hospitalist.
What is that?
Basically, like if you go into the ER and you get admitted, she's the one treating you.
For what?
Anything.
So
she's a hospitalist. If you go to the hospital.
So my foot, I stuck my foot into a George Foreman grill.
She's treating your burns.
Okay, now I have a cornea with my eye.
You wouldn't go to the hospital for that.
Okay, someone splashed hot coffee in my eye. I can't see. I'm going to the hospital.
Yeah, she's treating you.
She can treat you for anything?
She's the hospitalist. She's the one who recommends where you have to go. If your arm's cut off, you're going to the ER.
Have you ever heard of a person like this that like literally can?
Have you ever been
everything?
Admitted to the hospital?
Yes, way too many times, unfortunately.
And there's a doctor who sees you, and there's a specialist.
No.
Yes.
It's a nurse.
No. There's a nurse who regularly checks on you, sure, but then there's a doctor who comes in, talks to you, admits you to a specialist. The specialist is the optometrist, the sports medicine doctor, the guy who works.
Maybe
with
I'm
me.
Always
surgery. They do. That's a specialist. Then you go in and recovery, I feel like when post-op, I had,
okay, I feel like,
back to hospital.
Can I explain my hernia? Not my hernia. Sorry. I did have a hernia, though. I did have a hernia. Fun fact. What was my appendix ruptured.
Yeah,
appendix ruptured.
She's not doing the surgery.
Hold on. When I walked in, I got admitted and they did like my blood and
they
all
did,
that
and
stuff.
And then you went to emergency surgery.
Then, nope. No.
Your appendix ruptured.
Yeah, they messed up.
okay.
They then, because it was New Year's Eve, so they then shot me up with a fake, a placebo or like whatever. Like, what is it called? Saline? Yeah, they shot me up with saline before they gave me the good stuff. What's the
morphine?
Morphine. Because they needed to test to make sure that I wasn't just like a drug addict and I wanted morphine. So I obviously that didn't work. Then they shot me up with morphine. Then they took me back to like my room and they're like, hey, the doctor came in. So I only saw one doctor after that nurse. Doctor came in and said, hey, we're going to take care of you in the morning. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm on morphine. I have no idea what's going on. Then I had a nurse that came back and forth every hour or something, making sure I checked. And then that doctor came in, wheeled me out and did the surgery. So I never, unless that doctor like wheeled me out and then like dropped me off to some random person when I'm under and I have no idea.
Now, appendicitis, that's something that's very minor to where the same person might have been able to do your surgery, but most of the time.
He did say if they would have waited another day, I could have died.
Yeah. No. Not minor in the sense of like, but appendicitis is probably the most common surgery done.
It's probably easy to do.
That's what I'm saying.
Your sister might just be a beast and I have no idea.
No, I'm saying a hospitalist would be that person who checked on you. If you went to the hospital with a heart attack, if you went to the hospital with...
So I feel like a lot of people think they're nurses and they're not.
No.
I think that might be what
the difference
is.
The scrubs or
no,
the
doctor walks in, checks on you. The doctor, the person who walked in and checked on
it's
you.
It's like getting your wings.
And then the nurse came in.
Did not have a coat.
Couldn't have been a hospitalist.
Didn't have a coat though.
What are you talking about? No, the doctor. Okay, doesn't matter. All I was gonna say is if I asked my sister,
no disc golf being talked about.
No one cares about that. Debate night doesn't say disc golf in the title.
I've never been on this podcast. The thing is,
all I'm saying. People need to know the main point. If I asked my sister how many people have died while she's treating them, she would know. If I said how many lives would you say, she wouldn't know because a doctor. Doctor's job is to save lives. A doctor, so they remember the losses. They aren't going to remember their record. Mm. They don't keep a record.
Do you remember your losses? Two of them.
I mean, I have so many losses I can't count.
That's a really good pump up speech. Okay,
I'm just saying that that's a doctor's job. I don't remember when I do my job good. I remember when I did it bad.
Who has more pressure coming into this tournament?
You.
The world.
Oh
no!
Think
no,
straight
no.
after that.
The
tangent.
World champion James Conrad to become one of the only, I think, two or three people that have a.
He already has both,
but not in the same year.
No.
There might only be one other person that has
two.
It.
I would imagine Climo and Paul.
Probably
they've
Barry.
Done in the same
probably
year.
Probably Barry too.
So
you think Barry's done in the same
so
year?
So he has potential of
they just
winning
won
it.
So many. Surely they overlap.
That
at
there's
some
like
point.
A, there has to be a chance. Well, I mean, also, it's like the same.
I'll fact check.
There's
us,
like
yeah.
a different. There's a difference between like winning USDGC and then the next year winning Worlds, right? This is like the same
yeah,
calendar
yeah,
year.
Same season, yeah.
Yeah, same calendar year. Or the returning champ, Chris Dickerson.
So who has more pressure on him this year?
Yeah, who's coming into the tournament with a little bit more like.
I don't think either of them
Barry
have
Schultz
pressure.
Did it once. He did it in 2003.
Yeah. I don't think either of them have pressure.
I'm going to say that you technically.
Do you think there is pressure
I
in
think
disc
the,
golf?
Yeah, yes. I think the athletes with the most pressure to win this event are Paul, because I don't think, because he didn't win the first major, and I think his season has been, this would be a huge chance for him to get his season on track. Ricky, because he's missing it, he hasn't won it yet, and he's considered one of the greats now. And Eagle, because he hasn't won a major yet, a real
Kona
one.
Piste.
A real one.
You can't call Kona Piste a fake major.
I just did.
Okay.
So, a real one.
I've never heard of it, yeah. So.
In my book, it's not an ongoing regular major,
yeah,
but.
In my book,
but,
the only two majors that I will call major because they have their stakes are so much higher than the other ones is Worlds and USDGC.
You're not considering the European Open a major?
The European Open, okay, the European Open back in its day.
What about the Australian Open when that
no,
was a major multiple times?
No, that was
it was
that
a major every other
not,
year.
Barely anybody went to it. You can't deny that.
Barely anyone went to the European Open when it started.
Okay, then I'm not
it was,
considering
it was
that
probably
either.
One of the most
Worlds and USDGC.
Y'all are crazy.
Because they're the best attended
don't
and the most
me,
talked about.
I haven't said anything.
No,
about
Trevor's
this.
Crazy.
The, I haven't said anything.
It doesn't change my point. Those are my three players I think have the most pressure.
I would agree with your statement, but for different reasons.
Doesn't matter.
You want to put Simon in there?
No. Simon has no pressure.
Simon has no pressure.
Simon could finish 50th and yeah, makes just as much money because yeah. of everything
so he,
else he does.
So okay, but that's a terrible he thing because Paul could finish 50th and who
no,
cares? He
has no.
no, that's where you're wrong.
He Paul's brand year, is built on him winning.
But he has a 10-year $1 million.
Yeah, this is true.
That's locked in.
$1 million
that's,
guaranteed.
Oh, that's not enough money.
Oh no, it's plenty of money, yeah, what, but he what? Makes more if he wins more.
I know, but that's way more than
Paul. Also,
that's way
Paul
more
also,
than Simon.
Paul's whole brand is built on
yeah, Paul's also
championships.
Like,
I know,
winning.
But you literally,
Paul has way more pressure than Simon.
You literally made the argument that. Simon doesn't need to win because he's making way tons
well,
of money.
I'm saying because Simon's brand
Simon,
is not based on winning.
Simon has also said, like but on who, quote, that he would rather no. throw awesome hyzers and be on coverage than
yeah.
win.
He said he'd rather entertain than win.
Whereas Paul cares about winning.
Here's the thing. I'm not disagreeing that Simon is coming into this with no pressure. I believe you. What I was saying, though, is your argument that the money issue.
I sort of said brand, not money.
Okay.
Brand.
And the brand, again, at the end of the day, only matters to, like, if you care about your legacy, if you care about that kind of thing.
I mean, who
again,
doesn't care about their legacy?
Paul definitely does.
Some people don't.
I care about my legacy. I don't even have one. I care about it. Like, you're telling me that people on Earth just don't care what they're remembered for?
I think some people don't, yeah.
Probably some people don't.
I think some people
That's
really
crazy
don't
to
care. There's a lot of people that aren't on social media at all, and you would probably think they're crazy. Like, why aren't you on social media? They don't care. I think there's a
if
lot.
If you want a legacy, you need to get a Twitter.
Yeah. Brody Tracker. Hey, if you're not, if
no.
you're listening, if you're, no, we're going to shout
oh,
out
sorry,
Brody
no,
Tracker.
That's
okay?
not what's cutting off.
Follow Trevor. He's doing
at @FDG_Trevor.
We'll have it in the links too. Go check it out. He's going to be following me during my rounds to basically keep you guys updated on what's going on. give you little tidbits, little highlights, maybe some. Oh, you can't do videos.
But no, it's going to be just live tweeting shot by shot with like maybe some tweets of things that go on behind the scenes that you wouldn't even see.
Maybe some photos. You never know. So
definitely
make sure,
some photos.
Definitely follow him, FDG underscore Trevor.
Yes.
Now back to the original question. Fully agree with Trevor. I don't think Chris Dickerson or James Conrad really have pressure.
No.
Now, if we have to go head to head as to who has more pressure,
who has the most pressure
between just those two?
Oh.
I mean,
so
probably Chris, because he has.
I would say Chris because he didn't win a major this year.
Yeah, I guess because James already has his big win.
So I guess my question is like,
if either of them won, it would be a surprise win.
You're a pressure guy. You love
surprise win
for this year. No. I'm not picking them in my top three.
Chris wins, I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if either of them won.
Or James.
Because James has done
they're
it
not in my
James
top three.
James, no, they're not. But James has done it before.
Okay, so
and Chris has done it before.
But there's a lot of players in front of them that I would be less surprised if they won. I wouldn't be as surprised as if like
there's not a single
looking at the screen if Adam Hammes or Drew Gibson pulled off the win. I'd be way more surprised.
Player, the only player that has won before
that would surprise me.
Well, Will, because he's just been out for so long.
Steve Brinster.
Brinster.
Jeremy Colling.
Barry Schultz. Colling is the one that like the relevant one that I was gonna mention. But then, like Sexton and Conrad,
you surprise me.
Paul, they're not going to surprise
me. Has Nico ever won this one?
Yes.
Yeah, 2009. That, well,
would that surprise you?
Nico wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me because he's always kind of in the mix.
Always there.
Yeah.
This is Nico's Worlds.
Yeah.
Like how this is to Nico what Worlds is to Paul.
Yeah.
Nico always finds a way to kind of sneak in there.
So I guess my question, though, with you guys talking about that is what, I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit, but not really. Like, what are things that add pressure, or is disc golf not big enough? Is there not enough eyeballs? There's not enough money. Is there not enough stuff coming in to really put the pressure on these players? Like, because you've talked about hole 17, wait until you play it when it matters. So much pressure, so much pressure. But like coming into the tournament, like not actually when you're on the tee pad, but coming into the tournament, I have felt it in my other sports that I've played.
It's
like what is it in disc golf to make is it like you're in a re-signing, you know, like your contract
I think it's just expectations.
Yeah,
it's all
I think it's the players that have something to prove are the ones with the most pressure.
But who's creating those expectations?
The fans, media, and the players themselves.
But how are they, like Paul, that, but that's what I'm saying is
like
media,
Paul has pressure because the media talks about him every week. If he finishes outside the top three,
sure,
it's a bad finish.
Sure, but someone like a Nico or something like that,
no pressure.
Nico doesn't have pressure right now.
Or like even like you talked about, like Chris Dickerson, like
no pressure right now.
No pressure.
There hasn't been that. I'm just saying the media in disc golf is so minimal, right?
Exactly.
And also just like the fans, like you talked about, like you don't really get to hear that much from them. So I think it's hard, like what you're talking about, I think it's hard to have like multiple people because you literally just told me there's one guy. Like,
I think there's three players that feel pressure coming into this event.
Like, you can go...
Well, like beyond the normal pressure.
You can go Ricky Fowler. You can go like Drew Brees, who retired. You can go, I'm trying to think of a basketball player. Karl Malone. You can go these guys that are greats, right? Ricky Fowler, by the way. I think I just said Ricky.
Yep.
These are great athletes in their respective sports that never won.
Drew Brees has a Super Bowl.
Was it Drew Brees?
2009. You're thinking of Dan Marino.
Who am I thinking of? Dan Marino. Thank you. I don't think that's actually who I was thinking of. I think Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers made the Super Bowl.
He won the Super Bowl too?
Yeah. Bunch of Steelers.
Okay. We'll just go with Dan Marino.
Dan Marino is considered the great.
He's the greatest quarterback never to win Super Bowl. But there's someone. I'll think of him in a second. It's not Dan Marino.
From these days?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they might have already won in the last couple of years. But anyways.
Oh, Tom Brady.
these are people that you always hear like, when are they going to win? When are they going to win? And that wasn't a...
That's Ricky.
You didn't mention him.
We did. That was the second player we mentioned. I said he hasn't won it yet.
That's why he has pressure coming to this event, because he needs to win this one.
Well, he hasn't won... but he's won two world titles.
Yeah, but he hasn't won the U.S. It's like U.S. is always considered a different animal.
It's also like... So like that's a similar reason why Eagle has pressure right now. That's also literally Trevor's reason why Eagle has pressure.
Yeah, because he hasn't won it yet.
That makes more sense, though, because he hasn't won a major.
Yes, he has. Kona Peach Day 2018.
Okay. That makes more sense to me than the Ricky one, though, because he's won big, big tournaments. He's won majors.
Sure.
So it seems like...
But what I'm saying is, like, look at this list. None of these players are at, like, the end of a great career, and they just need to be capped off with a major win. Not a single one on this list.
But, like, a Calvin Heinberg is a good example, right? We talk
about...
He
doesn't have pressure yet. He's too young.
We talk about that a little bit in the season.
He might have a little bit of pressure to finally get
five years from now, lots of pressure.
Well, but
then he's in like a Ricky shoe.
But if Ricky Fowler, so Ricky Fowler is a good example to compare to Calvin Heinberg, because Ricky Fowler was in the, he's the young player waiting to break out for his first big win category for like 10 years.
For a long time.
So Calvin.
But did he have pressure during those 10 years of like, he has to win?
Yes, he has to win. Yeah, every time he would get in contention, people talked about, is Ricky finally going to win one?
I think but it also
saying,
has
is
to
he
do...
finally going to, and he has to.
So here's...
I'm saying these players like have to win. That's why I think they have pressure. Chris Dickerson doesn't have to win by any means. James Conner doesn't have to win.
Well, nobody has
Ricky
to
needs
win.
To win a USDGC if he wants his
like
legacy.
But he doesn't have to. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't have to this year, but he's running out of time.
If he
goes
wins three more world titles.
Yeah, if he goes and wins three more worlds, then.
I would say it'd be good for his resume, but I wouldn't say it's that drastic. Like, he needs to win the US.
I think Ricky needs to win. Because if you look at all the greats up to this point, they have both titles.
I know, but this year.
Well, he's already. Probably never going to catch Paul in world titles.
Not number-wise, but he would join a very short list of players who have both.
You're right. It would be, that's what I'm saying. It would be a great legacy item for him to win,
I think he needs it. He doesn't need this year, but he needs it before his career's over.
What does he need to be?
I think the U.S.
To be what?
Hunter's a big legacy guy.
Personally, I think the U.S. title, when I'm looking at players, holds more weight than a world title to me.
It is harder to win. But like you say, so do you say Ricky needs it to be considered one of like a Mount Rushmore guy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like he's going to be an all-time great.
But like
when everyone's talking about the greatest players of all time, like, to make that list, to make everyone's list, he needs a U.S. title.
Okay.
That's the pressure.
That's fair.
If he just has two world titles, he'll be surpassed by so many people.
Yeah, no, that's true.
If he has two worlds and at least one USDGC, he's not going to be surpassed by many people.
It's a shorter list. I agree.
Here's the other question. There are a lot of other really great players that you can look at in other fields as well. But they weren't as the media doesn't cover them nearly as much, right? And so if you look at disc golf, I'm sure there's other players like that as well, where I think that does come into a factor, right? So like someone like Calvin is a super like fan favorite. He has a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Kevin Jones is another person, a lot of fans. You can go down the list a little bit and look at like Ezra. He's got a lot of fans. I think that is also one of the things as well, is they need to have some sort of fan base to where the media actually wants to talk about them, because there are players that are probably in that mix of talent-wise of the people I just mentioned, maybe not Calvin and Kevin, but definitely there are players on like that next tier down that you don't ever hear from because... They just either.
Well, I think a big part of
they
it.
They still
right
have
now,
the fan base for the media to actually want to talk about them.
That is true, but there's some players who like Simon. When you brought up Simon, a lot of it depends on what they built their fan base on, right? Because Paul feels pressure from his fans to win because he built his fan base on winning. Simon will never feel pressure from his fan base to win because he built his fan base on entertainment. So his fans will never go into a weekend expecting Simon to win and be upset when he doesn't. If he wins, it's great. Win-win. Same thing can be said even for Drew Gibson. Drew Gibson's a similar player in that aspect. Same thing can even be said for Ezra. They didn't build their whole brand and career on winning, so when they go into an
They're
event,
just likable guys.
They don't have pressure of not winning.
Who's like another athlete like that?
Ricky's
who's
similar to Paul.
Likeable?
Ricky's
no,
very
someone,
similar to Paul.
No. I'm saying who's another athlete in a different sport,
you
don't do golf, but like who's another athlete
who
like,
built their career on being likable?
Yeah,
you can't like, do it because disc golf, anybody can play pro. Anybody can be on the tour.
Yeah, like I'm trying
to
think.
You can't get to the PGA Tour unless you've built your career on winning.
You can't get in the NFL either.
Well, the other hard part
is you're going to get benched. Yeah.
The other hard part too is a lot of players who have like formed their career in the other sports were doing it kind of, it's a lot longer career build. So like, when they started, they weren't like a YouTuber type thing where like...
What do you mean?
Like
what do you
I
mean
think,
a longer career build?
I'm trying to think what exactly I'm trying to say.
Because there are guys that start playing basketball when they're young and then literally play high school and then immediately go into the NBA.
But that's what I'm saying is like the people who are in the NBA right now...
Simon's been playing disc golf for how long? Since he was a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like they have, he has a way longer career than
that. But he didn't build his fan base until recently with his YouTube.
But
prior to YouTube, Simon didn't have a huge fan base. People liked Simon because like when he got on coverage, he threw cool shots. But Simon blew up because of social media. I'm saying if I'm on the PGA Tour, it was a lot harder to get there. So I'm not Ricky Fowler doing a personal vlog.
Right.
No chance. In disc golf, I am. I'm Drew Gibson doing a personal vlog.
Yeah.
I'm a top 15, 20 player in the world.
The money, yeah, the money's not there.
Well, not even the money, but that's the easiest way to build your brand.
It is, yeah.
If I have millions of followers on Instagram without trying to build it, or like I can pay someone to help me build it, then why on earth would I do something extra? In disc golf, to gain fans on social media, you have to do it yourself.
But the money's not there is the number one answer, though, because there are guys that could be making millions of dollars on social media that just have no interest in doing it.
Because they're already making millions elsewhere.
Because they're already making so much money.
There is an interesting thing, too, at disc golf. There's a lot of do-it-yourself when it comes to your personal brand in disc golf. Because in disc golf, you're only seeing like the lead card and a few cards. And you don't have ESPN making content around, like creating stories around
you.
Yeah. Like, we need to start creating
because
stories.
Because ESPN, like... Look at the way like ESPN will treat certain players, like LaMelo Ball, for example. They will make them like the centerpiece of their posts. So like you're not gonna like it'd be like if in disc golf ESPN started covering disc golf and they latched onto a player like Eagle McMahon and they just start posting him over and over and over again. It just builds out that fan base. Where in disc golf you have to do it yourself.
Should I just pick like some random person, like 50?
A good example though is like Jomez.
Just kind of
Jomez with Colling,
and
Sexton. It's just kind of like that effect I was just talking about. There are a few entities in disc golf that can help with that. But
same thing with Yuli,
right? Yeah,
Sexton, German, Yuli.
Let's do a shout out. Let's build someone's.
Well, the biggest thing of like ESPN picking LaMelo Ball, who's some random person. The reason that it works is because the person's a personality.
Right.
He's got a ton of character.
Right, but then LaMelo's not doing anything on his own other than being that personality.
But he's being LaMelo.
Yeah.
If they picked some random
disc golfers out there, like who's Zach Melton. Zach Melton's a really funny guy.
Who's that football guy that went viral because his interview?
The kicker? Wait, what?
No. He's a linebacker, I think, but like he got traded or something, he went to free agency, something, and like they did an interview and he was like super like open and honest about it. I'll find it. Continue talking.
I don't remember what we're talking about. But essentially I was just saying that's why some players will feel pressure and some won't. It's because if your fan base expects you to win, they're putting pressure on you. Like Ricky's fan base, Paul's fan base, Eagles fan base at this point.
It's also really tough for Paul and Ricky, mostly because of the standard of like the past decade
where
the parity wasn't there. So like them not winning like
it just
every
seems
major
so is wrong.
Just yeah, it seems odd.
Yeah.
So
but like if you're a Simon, Drew, if you win, it's like a nice bonus. But it's not, you don't need it.
It's almost like if you're rooting for like Paul or Ricky, you're like rooting like please don't lose. And if you're rooting for like Drew Gibson, you're like please win.
Please get on lead card.
Yeah, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling. You don't have expectations.
And it's just what the brand is built on.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I feel like I'm having an off debate night, or maybe this is how always my debate nights are. I just feel like I'm not really doing that great.
What?
I don't even know. I feel like we haven't even had a real debate.
But if I gave my rating tonight, it'd be a C-.
Okay.
Who is this guy?
I might put you at 950.
Like I thought Drew Brees hadn't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Yeah,
and it's Dan Marino.
Because like I'm not even a football fan. I knew Drew Brees had a Super Bowl.
Gosh. Okay, people, please let me know. If you're watching this on YouTube, please let me know in the comments who I'm talking about. He went viral on TikTok with his interview.
How recently was this?
He was like talking about
he's at TikTok, so yeah. Pretty recent.
Yeah, it's like very recent. And now like it's what we kind of talked about. He had one interview and like it was pushed out because he said something funny. And now
everyone wants to interview him.
He's getting more and more interviews. And now, like, it's a guy that you know probably the only people who know him.
Nico is that in disc golf?
Could be. Yeah, that's a
Nico hasn't done a ton to build his own brand, but everyone talks about him because everyone talks about when he does something.
Yeah.
It just becomes like it creates its own moments.
A lot of times in like other pro sports, you're able to if you like this guy's talking about like you can if you get like cut from a team or whatever. And you like do a lot on social media. Like I've seen guys on TikTok like get tryouts with professional sports teams just because of like the movement they've created behind them, like wanting to get a tryout.
Yeah.
But then the bottom line is, if you go out there and you suck, you're gonna get cut again.
Like, you can give yourself a shot, but then like in disc golf, you can make a career out of it.
Yeah, I think I think that's the key, is like disc golf with the with the landscape right now, disc golf, you can, because, you know, Simon's not a good example because he's actually a really good player, but let's assume Simon was way worse than he is. In a couple years from now, you won't see Simon on tour anymore. He could still do a good job like doing his stuff off, but I don't think he'd be as popular if he wasn't on tour.
Well, a great example is this past year, he's been injured, but his name has stayed relevant because he's been creating content to where his fan base didn't disappear.
Yeah, but also, like, imagine if he was injured for 3 years.
He could still create content.
Yeah. No, I know, but he would be less relevant. It's because it's so soon and everyone knows he's coming back. That's true. What I'm talking about is everyone's like expecting, when is Simon coming back? When is Simon coming back? If it was someone where it was like, hey, he's not good enough to play on tour anymore and he just lost his tour card, there would be like a year or two where people like would see what he was doing. I mean,
the biggest thing in that scenario
look at someone like
lost a tour card that he doesn't even, like, right now.
He's still on tour.
But look at Johnny Football. Johnny Football is a good example. Yeah. Someone that was in the news the time.
Johnny Football or Johnny Football disc golf?
No, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel.
On this podcast, you're going to have to clarify.
Johnny Manziel. He only comes up now in the news when he like has a fight or like, you know, something crazy happens. No one's talking about him anymore in football.
Because he lost his,
He's done. Yeah. Like he tried to make it. He didn't. He tried to make it
in like five different leagues.
Well, yeah, some dark horse league too.
The fan control football.
Yeah, the fan control. How long did that last?
Not long.
Is it still there?
I don't know. It was pretty
cool. I've
never
even heard of it.
Basically, fans got to pick the plays. They voted on plays live for the team to run.
I mean, that's an awful
idea. It's like playing it's a pretty electrifying.
I mean, the idea was kind of cool.
But it's something that, like, I feel like I would do it once or watch it once and be like, that was cool.
It's slam ball. Like, it's fantastic. Slam ball, it's fantastic for the first season.
Yeah.
It's
like a great idea, but it just doesn't quite catch on. Yeah.
It's not going to last.
It's like, I'd love to watch highlights of that, but maybe not a whole season in fall.
I'd rather just play Madden.
Wiffle ball, too. I can imagine
it'd be really funny, though. Like, I don't know if the voting like turned weird, but like imagine like all the votes come in and it's like punting on first down because you're just voting against.
I wonder if they had
I'm sure they gave them options. Yeah.
To where you can't do certain things. I mean, we did see an NFL team.
That's just technical difficulties.
Was it a college team or NFL that punted on third down?
NFL.
NFL. Okay. Was it the Ravens?
No, I believe it was.
Why did they put on third down?
Because they messed the refs' math stuff.
Yeah,
the ref said it was fourth.
It was like the signs on the side.
Signs, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, at least that makes sense. I thought they like chose to punt on third down, like it's some strategy thing.
All right, let's change up here a little bit and let's jump into some prize picks action because my computer is going to die eventually. Don't be fooled by that battery charger like that. Yeah, it's going to say like 30% and you're going to feel good about yourself.
You know you can make it tell you how long till it dies.
27%. I see it right there. What are you trying to do?
You keep going. You keep talking.
I mean, I feel like you're going to mess up my computer.
I would never.
Don't touch his computer.
I would never.
All right, so Prize Picks. Big shout out to Prize Picks for sponsoring this podcast. If you don't know what Prize Picks is, they're the first and only daily fantasy site to offer disc golf. The game is simple. Pick over or under on player stats to win a multiple of your entry fee. Right now, they currently have over under on strokes, and they've also added finishing place, which is pretty exciting. You must combine at least two players to make an entry. The more players in the entry, the higher the payout. And if you use code debate, and new users will get 100% first deposit match up to $100. So if you throw $50 in there, they'll match that to another $50, and now you got $100 to play around with.
Boom, boom, bing, bang, boom.
Also, the exciting thing about this is we're actually going to be doing a 25% payout boost on our entries. So tonight you're going to hear from Hunter and Trevor on the finishing place. I won't be making any picks because clearly I am in the tournament, and I think that's illegal. I think it's actually illegal.
It would be very sketchy.
It'd be frowned upon regardless.
I'll talk about your picks and maybe talk about some of the players, especially the ones that I played, and kind of give you guys some insight on that. But as far as my picks, will not be there. So if you end up picking exactly what Trevor picks or exactly what Hunter picks, then you have a chance of getting that 25% payout boost
when it hits.
So basically, what that means is if you bet $100, instead of winning $100, you actually end up winning $125. And the boost will not be reflected in the app beforehand. It will be paid out after the entry wins. And a reminder, use code DEBATE. Use code DEBATE. You'll get 100% deposit match. The link to play is in the description down below. If you're listening, it is, I think it's just prizepicks.com. They'll take it to you.
Yeah.
And then you just go up to the top and you click the little disc golf thing. It's actually, I mean, this is, I was amped up when it happened for the first time that we played it. And now I'm even more amped up because now we got finishing. And I do believe that they have talked about throwing on a little bit more of like birdies, number of birdies on there as well, which would be pretty exciting. And I think just looking, before you guys jump into your picks, let's just talk kind of about looking at it. There's nothing that jumps out of the page at me like, oh my gosh, this is a done deal.
Well, I think part of it is USDGC week. It's such an unpredictable tournament to begin with. It's
the most confusing one.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just read through what they have players. The lines are at currently. Yeah. This is as up to date as we're shooting this podcast. So they have Paul. This is the finishing place. We're going to talk about our picks on for round score on Grip Locked. But finishing place, they have Paul set at fifth. Ricky set at third. Eagle set at 4.5. Chris Dickerson set at 6.5. Sorry, it just changed. Calvin Heimberg set at fifth. Kevin Jones set at ninth. The James Conrad set at 12.5. And Kyle Klein set at 7.5. So essentially, when you do your picks, you pick over under whether you're going to finish worse over or better under than that place.
The only one that like jumps out at me as like the what the heck is the James Conrad at 12.5.
That's a
I don't know if that's a sucker, like where it's like I mean, he's won this tournament, it's got to be lower than that, but at the same time, it's
this
like
this event is so unpredictable.
But let me predict it. so I'm going with a three pick flex play here. I'm pretty confident in this flex play. I'm not going to lie to you. But I want, if you play along with me, I wanted to give you the best shot at getting that 25% bonus. So I didn't lock in the power play. I went with the flex play.
Okay.
First pick, I went with the Ricky under third place. I think
so you're saying, first or second.
You're giving yourself
first or second.
You're basically giving
yourself, if he comes in third,
the smallest percentage possible.
If he comes in third, no, because it's Ricky. If he comes in third, it basically eliminates that, and then it goes to a two-person power.
Yeah, but
would
you say, if another person ties, then you're out. I mean, it's a bold pick.
My
it's
thing is, it's a bold pick. Ricky's coming second or first at this event.
Okay,
is what
okay.
I'm picking.
Okay, okay.
And
okay.
I'm pretty confident in it. That's why I put it in my pick.
Okay,
so that the people at home are playing along with me get that 25% bonus when the second person hits the one you talked about, the James Conrad under 12.5. That if I had to have like a this is a guaranteed hit, that's the one I would do. But you know,
that's the only one that seemed. But again, it might be a sucker thing of where like if James Conrad has a bad week.
Well, if anyone has a bad week, it's USDGC. Man, crazy things happen.
Hope Ricky doesn't have a bad week.
Yeah, you better hope Ricky's.
Ricky's not gonna really have a bad week. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Ricky's not having a bad week. Okay. Final one that's in my flex play, because remember you also have to pick an over and an under within
Ricky's
there.
Ricky's never won this. Remember.
Until this year. Ricky's coming second.
He is due, though.
Let's just go ahead and throw out there that he was the one storming when it was cut short in 2016
right.
and Coley won.
Right.
Oh, was he the one that was coming
Ricky
down?
Was the one storming him. Yeah,
that would have been an exciting final round.
And then my final pick is the Ezra Aderhold over.
Yes.
Seventh place.
Yes.
I think Ezra's... no offense to Ezra.
Is
I don't
he
think,
on there?
Scroll down.
Ezra's gone.
Oh,
there's an interesting one. Interesting. I locked it in already, that's really unfortunate for the listeners at home.
So, well, what I'm saying is I'm wondering, so you have it. My guess is the over was hitting like crazy, and they had to pull it.
They must have.
So you might be locked in real good, but you have to, I'm actually not quite sure what happens here.
I don't know. I'm locked in.
Well, no, our entry's still valid.
No, I know, but I just don't
people
know.
Can't,
I don't
people think can't people, play with
I
me.
I don't think people can get a 25%
people can't play
boost.
With me. I'm
so
sorry.
They got to hope for you.
Also
well,
Ezra.
Trevor also has Ezra because that, no offense to Ezra at all, that one was more obvious to me than the James Conrad under. I just wasn't going to say it.
That was...
But I did.
Yeah, I think the Ezra... So I have...
I don't think Ezra's coming top 10 to this event.
No.
I just don't.
I don't either.
I just don't see that happening.
I have Ricky... Oh, go ahead.
I have a three
person, three pick power play. So for, well, it may not work.
You can't play along because.
Yeah. But I like the exciting play here. I was very confident in my answers. I have my under is Calvin Heimberg fifth because I just think he's the most consistent player on the board. Probably, and fifth is pretty generous for a guy that's top three.
I mean,
like every other.
I'd say
event.
Ricky and Paul are more consistent than Calvin, but
I would not say Paul is. I would not say Paul is.
I don't know if you look at the numbers.
And did this. Paul's line just change?
No.
To fourth and a half.
No, it's still at four.
It did change fairly recently, I believe, because I believe he was five.
Yeah, he was five. I do also have Ezra at over seventh. I think that was the lock. And then I have Kyle Klein over 7.5.
Yeah.
I think Kyle is just a little too young, hasn't played this event enough. So I felt comfortable with that pick, whereas the other guys, I've seen them dominate this event before. So
I
didn't have a problem with that.
I was going to say, with Kyle, I feel like if he hits the under, I think it's going to be from like the third card.
Yeah, he's just going to shred the final day.
Like the final day, he's going to come out and shoot like a 10 or 11. If he's in the top five or something like that coming into the final round, I mean, that would be one heck of a performance.
It is very interesting to see that they took Ezra off.
I don't think that's not interesting at all. I think people were just hammering it over. I did this
40 minutes ago. Well, okay, we've been on this podcast for a long time.
No.
I did this like it's 7 o'clock, an hour and a half ago.
You're going to love this analogy.
It was very recent.
You're going to love this analogy. Your Ricky post, your Ricky pick.
Maybe he'll come back up. Maybe they're adjusting it. Maybe he'll come up at a higher line.
Maybe.
Oh, they could do that too. But your Ricky pick reminded me of like the Price is Right person that doesn't really understand the game. And like the lowest bid is $1,000 and you think it's lower than $1,000 and you bid like $860 instead of $1.
Yeah.
That's kind of like...
No, I understand
those,
what
I
I'm doing.
Vibes.
That kind of feels...
I understand what I'm doing. I am very... I get that he's third, right? I think there's a better chance of him coming top three than some of the other ones hitting.
Ricky's the one...
I understand percentage-wise.
Ricky's the one I would stay away from because like the over either there. Like, I don't feel like he's going to be
I hate the over.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's gonna be like
going
to be out
of
the top five.
Ricky's going to be second or first.
But you picked... The only way you can win is if he gets two spots. That's where it's like,
yeah. The other, it's like the other over-unders.
I'm just that confident. I understand.
You got a little
I'm
room.
More confident Ricky's going to be in second or first than I was on any of the other ones, no matter how many spots you put him.
Really?
Wilson, yeah. That is interesting you say that.
Besides the James Conrad and the Ezra.
I'm just saying, all we've talked about this event is how unpredictable this tournament is.
It's extremely unpredictable.
And you took the one that needs the most
It's extremely unpredictable, but
finish.
I'm just saying.
Like, you don't like the Kevin Jones 9?
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
Because Kevin could come in first or he could come in 80th.
Yeah, Kevin's a little
Ricky's
too
coming
streaky
in,
for me.
Ricky's coming in first to fifth.
That's
the
true.
Range
if
of
you
three?
If you give him a range, I guess it makes a little more sense.
Like, Ricky's not coming outside of
fifth. Because I would agree, like, a guy like Kevin, his range might be first
might be
to 30.
Dickerson under
Dickerson
might
could
good.
Come in 30th. And I wouldn't bat an
Dickerson
eye.
Dickerson also has a big range, whereas Ricky has one of the smaller ranges. I would say Calvin and Ricky have the smallest ranges there, which is why I took Calvin.
Calvin's a good pick, too. If I was going with a four person, I'd probably throw Calvin in there next.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I
don't hate the
one
Ricky
of my
pick.
Favorite things,
just,
you were just hating the Ricky pick. Let's be honest.
We were hating it. But one of my favorite things about this as well is also
I don't hate
seeing
it.
How the lines change. I love
it. Is very interesting to watch.
Seeing where people are putting their picks.
Yeah.
So, all right. So if you guys want to follow along as well, Grip Locked will be doing a much more, not much.
We're going to be doing a daily breakdown of the strokes side of this.
And talking about your picks
and
stuff
about
that.
Our picks and going. We're going to be doing a full USDGC preview. So it'll be a much more in-depth preview of the event. We also had a few, we're also going to be sneaking in player interviews, hopefully, as the week goes on as well.
I need a new phone.
And stuff like that.
This phone just like, it just. See if that works for you. Like, try to swipe up and swipe down.
Just turn it off, turn it back on.
I just tried that. It didn't work. But if you want to play along with us, guys, make sure you go to Prize Picks. Again, remember to...
Use code DEBATE to get 100% match on up to your first $100 deposit.
It's just...
I don't even go into the notes.
It's just not even letting us do anything. But yes, use
Basically,
DEBATE.
You can win before you even start.
Use DEBATE. Prize Picks.
Not use the bait.
No,
DEBATE.
Was I not pronouncing that well?
It's just when you say use the bait, it sounds like use the bait.
It sounds like you're saying use the bait.
Exactly what I was saying. It sounded like you were saying. Oh, when you say it fast enough, it sounds like use the bait.
Oh, that makes sense then.
Use code debate, DEBATE. To get that sweet, sweet.
We have anything else we want to talk about USDGC?
I don't think so.
Do we want to do quick predictions? I know you guys are going to do your full predictions and stuff, but do we want to do while I'm standing here?
Here, let's do where is Brody finishing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What spot is Brody finishing?
What's a good number for over under? Or are you just picking the exact spot?
No, you're picking the spot.
Oh, jeez.
Predict the spot that Brody comes in. 25th.
I feel like I have, out of all the people
What's
we talked
field?
About, I think
90
I
90 something.
I feel like I have the highest range.
90 something.
96, I think the field was.
Yeah, I'm saying 25th.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, I think there's. I mean, I could tell you if I.
I think I looked on the PDJ website, and I'm pretty sure you're saying 25th.
I don't know why it came to me. I said it, spoke it into existence. 25th.
96 athletes.
Wow.
96 competitors.
I'm thinking 8th.
Frick.
Connor?
Connor 10. Said first.
Top 10.
So we have an 8th, 10th, 25th.
I honestly would be happy with all those except for yours. 25, I'd probably be a little upset.
I feel like that's a solid finish for you, CDC.
Yeah, but I'd be a little upset. If I got 25th, I didn't
play. It's definitely not like a breaking news kind of finish.
Yeah.
Top 10 would be pretty sick.
I mean, your first USDGC, you haven't felt the pressure, the goosebumps of 17 yet.
I don't like that it's your first US.
Your palms haven't sweated on the tee when you're gripping that Get Freaky. I mean,
disc golf is kind of interesting though, because it's like I do think like having closets or not closets, having mummies. No, wait, what?
Skeletons
what?
In your closet.
Skeletons. I'm telling you, I'm like a C- right now. Having skeletons in the closet, I think, is a real thing in golf and in disc golf. It's not so much in others.
Does that mean secrets you're hiding?
No, like things in your past, like you've already missed this putt to win 3 times.
Yeah. Oh. Or like you've
the only time I've ever heard that hurt is like that person has skeletons in their closet. Like there's something they really don't want you to know about.
It's kind of used differently in sports.
Yeah. I was like, what the frick?
Sorry. But like, you know, when you're doing more like reactionary sports, basketball, football.
You don't have time to think through.
But like having that experience, it's more so like getting into the game. That experience is super, super beneficial. Where in disc golf, it is super beneficial to have played a course many times and have had that pressure. But there also is something to be said, like if you're on that beach hole, right, and you've thrown it OB and you've gone to that death putt drop zone and you've thrown it in the water multiple times, it's something that you're now thinking about a little bit. And I think that's like the mental part of disc golf. That's why disc golf is difficult. Not as difficult as golf, but it is difficult.
Well said. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week.
I want to get into that.
Well, I agree with you.
Leave it there.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Leave it there. Agreed.
I don't know which part I want to disagree.
I don't know if I believe him.
I don't even know what's going on.
The real question is what food we're getting. That's what the people really
That's for
want
the Bogey Bro banter. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's debate night. Be sure to tune in and watch, follow along with the USDGC. You can do it through UDisc. You can check the live scores there. You can pick up the pay-per-view package if you want to be watching live disc golf. Also, be sure to follow us, where we're doing as much coverage as they possibly allow us to on Instagram, Twitter, daily podcast, Grip Locked this week. Lots of fun, lots of stuff going down. You're not going to want to miss out.
All you people out there, I gave you a week off, okay? A week off to come up with your hot takes, to come up with something, okay? There's probably going to be a lot of chatter after this tournament, which I'm okay with. That's fine. But be a man or a woman, whatever you are, call in and debate me. That's like a C-. I need food immediately. Debate, prize picks, use debate.
Hey, I'm going to cut him off. We'll talk to you next week.
Use the word debate. Debate night. That's a wrap. Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.